Let's begin today by hearing from the Word of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. Man, I have already ate up all my time. The food's here, though, so that saves time driving to the restaurant, right? You're not convinced of that. We also pray that you will be strengthened with His glorious power, so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always giving thanks to the Father. He has enabled us to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live by the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son Jesus, who has purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all of creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things that we can see and things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the heavenly realms. He existed before anything else and holds. Everybody say holds. All of creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. He is the beginning, the supreme over all who will rise from the dead. So He is first in everything. For God was pleased in all of His fullness to dwell, to live in Christ, and reconcile everything to Himself. For God made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. You still remembered. Very good. How many of you have ever heard or used the phrase, spill the beans? This phrase might be used in the context of a relationship among friends where one of you knows something the other doesn't. And so one of you might spill the beans because it's what's expected, or because we think we need to know. If they know, I should know too. And so we put pressure on them because we want them to spill the beans, or if we have the beans to spill, we feel that pressure. In the fall of 2016, Sarah and I had been talking about continuing our family. By the way, it's not starting a family because we were already a family. Yeah, that'll preach. But that's another day. It's continuing a family. And we found out through different events that Sarah was diagnosed with PCOS. And I'll just make it simple. That means that we had no guarantee of being able to conceive and have children of our own. At the same time, one of Sarah's co-workers, her and her husband had tried for 7 years, had spent thousands of dollars upon it. So we realized the journey could be long, and we didn't know what it would entail, but we started this journey. In January of 2017, we found out we were pregnant. Didn't tell anybody, but it wasn't but just a week or so later that we found ourselves in the emergency room and we had a miscarriage. And I remember having to go to my mom and dad's house and spill the beans over something that you don't want to have to tell anybody, but I remember how hard it was to tell my parents that they had a grandchild they would never meet on earth. And I put it off. I thought, well, we don't really have to tell them, do we? Well, maybe acting the way we're acting will give it away. They'll know something's up, so yes, you have to tell your parents. And we got there, and I remember how long I took to even get to it. We small talked. We tried to act like everything was normal, and the night just went on and on and on. And finally, I spilled the beans. Not because I wanted to, but because I felt obligated to. That because of our relationship, I felt like they needed to know. Now, we give all praise to God. Because we were at a crossroads, and they say that if you have a miscarriage with your first child, the likelihood of a second miscarriage is higher than the first. And so we didn't know what we were getting into. We just said, Lord, we trust you. And within 6 weeks to 2 months, we were pregnant again. And so we were really hush-hush at this time because we were very uneasy every moment, every day. And we were just asking for God to help us. But I remember when we finally felt like we had made it through and we went to tell our parents. Now, Sarah had this creative, drawn-out process. We went in, we did the small talk, and we sat down to dinner at her parents' house. And I'm like, these were her words last night, you were busting a gut to tell. And she's all calm and collected. And during dinner, she says, you know, it's getting kind of hot. And she stands up and unzips her jacket. And I don't even remember what the shirt says. Don't tell her I said that. I'm sure it was very well thought out. And it was just all happiness. And I remember then we went to my mom and dad's house. And I remember we barely got in the door and sat down. There was no small talk. There was nothing. I just said, we're pregnant. Kind of like when I told you as the church, because it's hard to talk about yourself. What a difference it makes when there's something we feel obligated to tell but don't want to tell, and when we have something good to tell, how easy it is to tell. One, we will say out of obligation. One, we will say out of the overflow of our heart. In Sarah's words, we're busting a gut to spill the beans. I just wonder, as we enter Thanksgiving time, which place you might say you find yourself today. I wonder how many of you would say the truth of the matter is, and you don't have to admit it to anybody, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but the truth is, Thanksgiving, I really just feel obligated, you know, to say, well, I'm thankful for these things. And it's not that you're not thankful for them, but it's just you just don't feel all that thankful. You're not really in a spirit of thankfulness, and it comes more out of this obligation, and you're trying to think real hard. You know, if I did that 20-day or 30-day thankfulness challenge on social media, would I have enough things to say? And you just think, well, I'm thankful for the air. Or, yes, we're thankful for these, but the truth is we're just trying to make ourselves feel thankful, but deep down in our hearts we'd say, man, Lord, I wish I really actually felt thankful. And then there's sometimes life is really, really good and we come and Thanksgiving's like an overflow. We're just busting at the gut to say all the things we're thankful for because this has been the best year ever. And how do we deal with Thanksgiving? Because here's the truth. If you find yourself feeling obligated to give thanks, here's the short circuit of the message. Ready? You don't have to pretend to be thankful. If life is hard, let it be what it is this year. I don't think it says that you're not thankful for all the good in your life. I think it's just acknowledging that some times are harder than the others. So instead of just pretending, let's just start with that. I know that makes some of us uncomfortable. But if you're there, let me tell you this, you won't always be there. There'll be years you'll be on the other side where it is so good that it's so easy just to say, I got to tell you how good God's been. So let me tell you, if you're on this side, be careful, because this year will come too, where you don't feel as thankful as other years. How do we deal with all of this? I think Paul gives us a little bit of a pattern in Colossians. He says, I pray that you will be strengthened. Now, this is interesting that he prays this, because if you read just the first part of chapter 1, you would say, I don't think they need much strength, Paul. Paul gives a few words. He says that they're holy, faithful people. Translation, these are the real deal Christians. Real deal Christians don't need God's help. No matter how hard it gets, they can make it through. Come on, you know somebody in your life, you'd say, I wish I was as spiritual as they were. No matter how hard it seems like they just make it through. There's no need to pray for strength for them, because somehow they just are connected to God. If you need a prayer, go to them, because they're one and the same. This is the idea of how Paul sees these people. He says, their faith is so great, it's not just faith that people see, they're talking about it. Rumor has it that if you want God to answer your prayers, go to the first church in Colossae. Because their faith is so strong that people are getting healed. And the whole town is talking about it. And not just that town, but it spilled over all the way to Paul at Philippi where he wrote the letter. So they have this great strong faith that everybody's talking about. He says, you love one another well. Jesus said something about that, that you truly are my disciples if you love one another. Boy, they got that down. And he talks about their generosity and how they've been growing in the faith, that where they were is not where they still are. I say all of that to say, from a distance, if you're looking on their social media account, everything is fine and dandy. Praise God. But Paul says, I pray that you will be strengthened. Now, I'm not always that smart, but my question is, you don't pray for strength if you have enough strength. We only pray for strength if we're weak. And no matter how strong these Christians are, they weren't strong enough. He prays that they would have endurance. Now, we don't ask for endurance unless we're at the end of our rope ready to give up. He prays that they would have patience. We don't pray for patience unless we're in traffic. And everybody's costing us patience. My point is this, that I don't think that things were as good as they seemed. I think there was a battle going on. He'd go into chapter 2 and 3 and kind of explain that they had a lot of pressure on them. There's some philosophies that were trying to deceive them. But he would go on to tell them, so be thankful. Wait, what? Be thankful for all the good things, right? That I first told you, that your holy faith, that they're the real deal, that they love well, that they have great faith, that they're growing in the faith. Be thankful for the good things, but let's not talk about the bad things. Here's how I've tried to visualize it. How many of you love pie? Love pie? Really, if you're a pie lover, you love all sorts of pie. It doesn't matter. Pumpkin, apple, it doesn't matter. What I think that we come to Thanksgiving, if Thanksgiving were a pie of gratitude, life has this way of coming in and stealing a piece. And so when you look at the pie pan, there's still a whole lot of pie, but there's a little sliver missing. Dale, I'm going to talk to you for a little bit. Dale will sneak desserts, won't you? Already has. Now, I've witnessed people who sneak desserts. If it's a little pie, you start out, you don't take the whole piece. You take a little spoon, and you just take a sliver. This is my father-in-law, by the way. He'll just sliver away. And he thinks that he's being deceptive, except by the time he's done over the course of the day, there's a whole piece missing. What happens in this pie of gratitude is that life has this way of just slivering away a little bit of our gratitude at a time. And when we come to Thanksgiving, it's not that we're not thankful. We have the whole pie of blessings that we give thanks for. And we should. This is how I feel on Thanksgiving. Maybe it will hit you. I hope it does. I come and I'm grateful. But grief has stolen a slice of the pie. I come and there are a lot of blessings in my life that I never want to take for granted. But burdens have come and they're slivering away at the gratitude. You may look at someone else and say, they're standing. You're standing today, preacher. Life has not overcome, but let me tell you, there's some scars that have weaseled away at the gratitude. And it just feels like to me that when I come, I have a pie of good things to offer, but there's a piece that's missing. And I know what the Scriptures say. He calls for us to offer all of our thanks to Him. And it almost feels like I can offer all the good things to Him and all the good that He's done, but we better keep the bad to ourselves. We better get a smaller pie pan and move the pie in so it doesn't look like there's anything I'm not thankful for. But can we be real? There are some things at times we're not thankful happened in our life. There are some things we're going through we're not thankful we're in, and we don't have to be. Paul writes, he says, I know all these good things, but I know the piece of your pie that's missing. And then he says, so always give thanks. Wait, what? How about sometimes? How about when life doesn't take a piece of the pie and it's whole? How about then, Paul? No, always. Come on, Paul. Work with me here. Always. That word, it's an interesting word. It means Eucharist. Do you know what the Eucharist is? It's what we celebrated early in service. It's communion. So when Jesus took the bread, He Eucharisted it. He always gave thanks to it, and then He broke it. Here's Jesus on the night He would be betrayed by a friend. A piece of His pie was going to be taken, and then He would die on a cross, a sinner's death for crimes He did not committed, and Satan would take all of the pie. He said, I'll be thankful. Always give thanks. The other time the word appears was when Jesus feeds the 4,000 and the 5,000. It's the same thing. He collects the bread. They don't have enough to eat. He takes the bread. Before He breaks it, He gives thanks. He Eucharist it. He always gives thanks. What am I trying to say? Maybe Thanksgiving is learning to offer everything we have and not just the good. In fact, I would tell you that true Thanksgiving is experience when we finally come to the place and say, I have nothing to offer to Him because I know He has everything to offer to me. The places God fills in our life are not the places already filled with pie. It's the empty places. So give that too. Not as an offering of thanks, saying you're thankful for them, but to say, God, I can't do anything with them. Maybe You can. This is why I say today, you don't have to give thanks out of obligation or because the calendar says so. But I am asking you to give it anyway. Because He can do with it what you can't. He can do with it what I can't. He can do with it what we can't. And He will. I also want to take just one moment and say this. For some of you today, that's really bad news. You've been walking with the Lord for some time in your life. And when you first came to Christ, it was easy to surrender life because you had nothing. That's how I came. I realized I was a sinner that had nothing to offer Him. So I had nothing to lose by giving it to Him. But the longer we walk with the Lord, the more He blesses us. So when He asks us to surrender it back, there's more we stand to lose. Some of us haven't increased our surrender since we first got saved. I want to push on that. I'll just leave it. We have nothing to offer Christ, but true thanksgiving happens when we realize He has everything to offer us. I move to a close. I just want to highlight some of the things in the text He offers. He offers us strength when we are weak. When we're weak, we cannot find strength, can we? We try to muster it up, but it's not our strength. It's His. He gives us endurance when we're tired and weary and ready to give up. He gives us patience when we're about ready to lose our mind. He gives us an inheritance. The language here is that when the children of Israel came out of Exodus, He gave them a piece of property in the Promised Land with their name on it. So let me say it differently. Our inheritance, there's a piece of heaven with our name on it. Our name is on the deed. It's ours. We own it. It's waiting for us. He gives us that. And by the way, it's not just something He gives at the end of time. He gives His Holy Spirit as a deposit to say, here's more. Here's 100% down for what you're going to receive. He gives it all. He gives forgiveness and freedom. Not just that our sins can be forgiven, but that we do not have to live in the power of sin anymore. Forgiveness isn't just saying, God, I messed up, forgive me. What Christ wants to do is to empower us so that we do not fall into sin. It doesn't mean we'll become perfect. It just means we will sin less and less as we grow in faith with Him. We believe that sin does not have to have the power in our life, that we don't have to live in a cycle of sin, ask for forgiveness. We believe we can walk in true freedom with Christ, knowing the power of sin has no power over us. That even when we trip, we won't fall. That even when we make a mistake, and that is sin, He is quick to forgive. It's okay, keep going. You've not lost your standing with me. I'll forgive you. He holds all things together. I just want to say this. What Christ will give us today is He will hold everything that we can't hold together. So, stop trying to hold it all together. Because you don't have to. Do you have a universe that you run every day? I don't. Yet I still think I have everything I need to hold up. I got all these problems. I got to figure them out. Well, maybe the God of the universe who's holding everything together can handle my hill of beans. I think He can handle it. Here's what's so beautiful, though. God doesn't look at our problems as smaller than running the world. He sees them the same. That's who He is, to hold all things together. Christ has everything to offer us. What I want to ask you to do as we close together today if you just say, I kind of wish Thanksgiving would come and go this year. Just having a hard time. It's not that I'm not thankful. It's not that I don't have more pie. It's just that the piece that is missing, it is painful. And it hurts that even when I try and see all the other good, I am just so blinded by this. Will you offer it to Him? Will you say, here it is. I trust you to do it. And if you're here today and all the good in your life and you'd say, my pie is pretty full. I just got to keep people away from trying to nibble at it. Would we recognize today that before Christ we were nothing. Without Christ we still are nothing. That we are everything because of Him. And so, Lord, it's still all Yours. I told you that today is Christ the King Sunday. You know what we do when kings come? We bow. We surrender. So I want to give opportunity for that today. You can come and pray around these altars and we'll pray with you. We're going to move into a time of baptism following that. So if the two who are being baptized, if you'll just meet me in the back, we'll be ready for that. But let's stand together. Let's give everything we have to Him.